Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. And happy Father's Day. I figure it's happy Father's Day to everyone who is a father, everyone who's had a father, everyone who acknowledges God as Father. So the first thing I think we need to do this morning is to pray for all fathers and all father figures. So good and gracious God, we thank you for men who have been fathers, for men who have served as father figures. We ask you to bless all fathers, all uncles, all cousins, all grandparents, all those who stand in that position of authority over others as father, the position of love over others as father. We pray for stepfathers and for others who are in difficult places as father. We just ask you, Lord, to bless these individuals. And for all of us who acknowledge you as Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise that we have an eternal Father in you. And so we ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We do have a few announcements. Our food pantry volunteers for tomorrow are Shirley Gorman, Linda Morgan, and either Brian or Sherry Rhodes. On Friday at 6 o'clock, we have bingo over at Union Congregational to support Buffalo Community Outreach. So half of what is taken in will go to the bingo winners, and the other half goes to Buffalo Community Outreach. And so if you would like to have a really fun evening of fellowship and a possibility to win just a little bit of cash, I'm always lucky if I win back anything. Last time, I think I was the only person in the entire room who didn't win. But that's how it goes sometimes. It's all for a good cause. So this month, it is Buffalo Community Outreach. So I hope to see you there. Do we have any other announcements that we need to take care of? Yes.
Kids Buffalo Outreach sale this weekend.
It is indeed. All right. Do you want to explain what days that is and what hours, if you recall?
Yeah. Thursday night, you have to pay, I think it's $10 to go in and do all the things and buy things, of course. Friday, Saturday is free, open. You can shop as much as you want. They would appreciate it. Sunday, I think that there's a discount of some sort, but I don't recall what it is. Does anybody else know?
And I'm hoping that at least one person from Buffalo Community Outreach comes to bingo and explains to the individuals exactly what Buffalo Community Outreach does, its connection to Habitat. I believe Habitat is coming back into town, and I'm not sure what the relationship will be between them, but it would be good to hear an update on that relationship.
I was an initial one of the people that did all of the Buffalo Habitat earlier, but what they actually do at that time, they build houses for people who had a need. Right now, what they're doing is helping people who have some needs. What they're going to do in the future depends on funding, leadership, etc.
Exactly. Thank you so much for that update. And it's certainly an organization that I think is worthy of our support. Any other announcements? I know we have some people who have returned from camp. How was camp? Good. All right. Good enough. We're glad to see you back, and we hope that you had a really wonderful time. We'll hear more from you later on camp. Right? Right. Okay. Anything else? If not, please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Baptized into Christ, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you free us to love others, but we neglect our neighbors and follow our own way. You lead us by the Spirit of joy and peace, but we turn away from the abundant life you offer. You surround us with patience, kindness, and generosity, but we grow weary in doing what is right. In your mercy, forgive us. Do not give up on us. Heal us. Break our bonds. Amen. You belong to Christ Jesus, and you are God's children through faith. and the cross of Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Clothed with Christ, you are a new creation. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Come All You People, number 815. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
us join together in the prayer of the day. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from Proverbs chapter 8. In the Bible, wisdom is portrayed in terms sometimes human and sometimes divine. Often wisdom is personified as feminine. In this passage, woman wisdom is depicted not only as the first creation of God, but also as God's helper, rejoicing in God's creation, especially in human beings. A reading from Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively, Psalm 8. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses.
What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them?
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under your feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The second reading is from Romans chapter 5. Paul describes the life of faith with reference to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Even now we have peace with God through Jesus, and our hope for the future is grounded in the love of God that we experience through Christ, Holy Spirit. A reading from Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our first reading today, we heard from the book of Proverbs, and we don't hear from Proverbs very often. This particular passage of Proverbs is poetry, so that means that we don't take it literally. We don't think that wisdom is actually some female creature. Instead, wisdom is personified in this way so that we can understand better. It talks about the depths of the wisdom that has been from the beginning. This is the wisdom of God. And so what I want to talk about today is the difference between God's wisdom and human wisdom. God's wisdom is a central theme in the Bible. It is characterized by its divine origin, its infallibility, and its eternal nature. Unlike human wisdom, which is often limited and flawed, God's wisdom is perfect. It is unsearchable. It is really not possible for us to understand its height and its depth and its breadth. The Bible frequently emphasizes that true wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 9, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." This verse underscores the foundational role that reverence for God, that's what fear of the Lord means, reverence for God, plays in acquiring true wisdom. God's wisdom is also described as being beyond human comprehension. In Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord declares, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This highlights the vast difference between divine and human understanding and emphasizes that God's wisdom transcends human reasoning. The New Testament further reveals God's wisdom through the person of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul refers to Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God. This identification of Jesus with human wisdom illustrates that God's ultimate wisdom is manifested in the redemptive work of Christ, which may appear foolish to the world, but is a means of salvation for those who believe. In contrast, human wisdom is often depicted in the Bible as limited and sometimes contrary to God's purposes. While human wisdom can achieve great things in the realms of science and philosophy and the arts, it is ultimately insignificant and insufficient for understanding spiritual truths and the deeper purposes of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 states, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." This suggests that human wisdom, when it stands in opposition to God's wisdom, is ultimately futile. The limitations of human wisdom are further illustrated in the account of Job. Despite his friends' attempts to explain his suffering through human reasoning, it is only when God speaks that true wisdom is revealed. Job chapter 28 captures this sentiment. "And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding." Human wisdom is also associated with pride and self-reliance, which can lead individuals away from dependence on God. James chapter 3 contrasts earthly wisdom with heavenly wisdom. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This highlights the moral and spiritual qualities that distinguish divine wisdom from human wisdom. So the Bible presents a clear distinction between God's wisdom and human wisdom. While human wisdom has its place, it is only through submission to the wisdom of God that one can attain true understanding and live a life that aligns with God's will. So again, God's wisdom is perfect, eternal, and rooted in divine understanding, while the wisdom of human beings is often limited, flawed, and focused on our earthly concerns. So here are some characteristics of God's wisdom. It is of divine origin. God's wisdom is described as coming from above, characterized by purity, peace, and mercy. It is not influenced by human limitations or biases. It has an eternal perspective. God's wisdom views life in terms of eternity, guiding believers to make choices that align with God's will and God's purposes. It emphasizes the importance of reverence for God as the foundation of true wisdom. It is transcendent. God's thoughts and ways are higher than human understanding. And God's wisdom often appears foolish to the world, but ultimately is a means of salvation and true understanding and moral guidance. God's wisdom leads to a holy life and encourages believers to act in ways that honor God, often challenging conventional wisdom. In contrast, here are the characteristics of human wisdom. It is based on limited understanding. Human wisdom is often based on experience, education, and common sense, but it is inherently flawed and can lead to misguided decisions. It has a self-centered focus. Man's wisdom tends to prioritize personal gain and success over spiritual truths, often leading to pride and self-reliance. It may achieve great things in worldly terms, but falls short in understanding deeper spiritual realities. It has temporal concerns. Human wisdom is often concerned with immediate results and with practical solutions, which can overlook the eternal implications of decisions and actions. So following God's wisdom leads to peace, fulfillment, and alignment with God's will, while relying solely on human wisdom can result in confusion, conflict, and spiritual emptiness. While human wisdom has its place in navigating life, it is through submission to God's wisdom that one can attain true understanding and live a life that reflects God's values and God's purposes. So let's turn again to our first reading, where we're told that wisdom existed from the beginning. In verse 23, ages ago I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, when God had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when God established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the foundations of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its level so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. And this is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the one who created all things, the wisdom of the one who created human beings and delights in all of creation, especially in human beings. This is our God, who in God's infinite wisdom took on flesh and became one of us and bore our sins on the cross and died for us, who sent the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to be with us always. As we hear in the psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. On this Holy Trinity Sunday, we rejoice in the majesty of God, in the wisdom of God, and we pray that we listen to the voice of God, to God's wisdom, and not rely on the wisdom of human beings, knowing that God's wisdom is transcendent, that God's ways are not our ways, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And yet, how majestic is God and God's name in all the earth. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Come Join the Dance of Trinity, number 412. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I know you were really looking forward to the Athanasian Creed today, but I thought we'd settle for the Nicene. Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation.
Abiding God, your love pours into your whole Church, creating faith and bestowing hope. Fill all the baptized with these good gifts in our various callings. Gather your Church in every place and expression into the unity of your Spirit, God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Creating God, your name is majestic in all the earth, and we are filled with awe at your creation. Renew this planet and all its wonders, springs abounding with water, earth and soil, beasts of the field, birds of the air, and fish of the sea. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, you delight in the whole human race. On this week of Juneteenth, bring an end to racial oppression and heal the wounds of racial trauma. Grant us your wisdom so that all people, especially those in authority, work for the life and freedom of others. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Compassionate God, your mindful care for us is everlasting. Give peace to all who are troubled, endurance to all who suffer, deliverance to all who are afflicted, and healing to all who are sick. We pray especially for those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Living God, your glory appears in our shared life. On this Father's Day, give to all fathers and father figures gentle hearts and strong spirits. Heal the wounds in our families and comfort those for whom this day brings pain. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal God, your hope does not disappoint. We give you thanks for all who have died in the hope of the resurrection, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hold us in our grief and bring us at last to fullness of life in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. Thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. For the summer, we're just putting the collection plates at the entrances to allow you the opportunity to contribute either before or after the service. But let us sing together our offertory. It is verse 1 of Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the table of the Lord, where all are welcome, and all are fed. Just a reminder that in the center of the clear liquid is juice, and on the outer rings of our liquid is wine. So please come forward and receive the gift of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us join together in our ascending song, Come Thou Almighty King, number 404.